Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today's a massive show. Not only do we have the Blueprint Power Hour during the first hour, but then we're followed up by Military Fitness Radio, which is fast becoming a very, very popular show on the network here. We're reaching a lot of people who are deployed with this show, and they're saying thank you because they want to be better prepared when in the field. And the reality is that our government really doesn't know how to prepare their soldiers. This is the truth. And Nate Morrison does. So that's later in the show. Hope you can stay around for it. Let's go ahead and run Rob Regish's music.
Calling all Blueprint Army. Fall in line. It's time for the Blueprint Power Hour with Coach Rob Regish on the Superhuman Radio Network.
Isn't it great? We have the Blueprint Army, and then we're followed by the Military Fitness Radio Show. How you doing, Rob?
Hey, I'm doing a lot better than I was a week or so ago.
So I didn't tell people what happened, but last Tuesday when you took off, we had Dr. Jeff Galini fill in for you.
Yep.
And I just said, Rob needs your prayers. I'm not going to discuss what's going on with him, but I have never seen Rob. Well, I didn't see you, but I knew in this kind of pain in his life. And I figured if you wanted to tell the story, you could.
Yeah, we'll actually get into it a little later in the show. But the bottom line is I came down with a hell of a case of the shingles in my mouth, no less.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's got to be like if you wanted to torture somebody, that's how you would torture them.
Yep. And you know, it happened fast. And by the grace of God, I recovered real fast, too. And I think there are some lessons there, too, for people willing to listen. If you have the chicken pox as a kid, you can get shingles as an adult. I'm not big on vaccines, but if I had to do it over again, I would have gotten the shingles vaccine.
Yeah, but here's the thing about the shingles vaccine, okay? 40% of the people who get the shingles vaccine get an outbreak of the shingles immediately after getting the vaccine, number one.
Yeah,
and number two, the doctor will tell you that the shingle vaccine is no guarantee that you won't get the shingles again. So, in my opinion, that's a vaccine best avoided.
Okay. Well, that's usually how I come down on vaccines, but
Look, the shingles is a type of virus that is stimulated by stress.
Yep.
And it's also a perfect storm occurs when you're low on certain B vitamins. The shingles becomes less dormant. There are natural ways. We actually did a show on it. I'll find it and send you the link. There are natural ways to avoid outbreak of the shingles. And that's really what you need to focus on, obviously, more so than trying to do something with a vaccine, in my humble opinion. That's my humble opinion.
Yep.
So
And I want to thank you, too, for your counseling on that. It helped, you know, to this day. I'm doing couple of tabs of high or B complex, rather, a gram of vitamin C and a gram of lysine, a minimum of three times a day to make sure this thing is gone and gone for good.
And when we talk about what happened, I think people are going to realize that you fixed this, not the doctor. You fixed this. So we're going to get into that. But let's start off with a question from a repeat listener, Todd Godick. He said, first, I want to thank you. Your answer to my last question helped me tremendously. I just want you to know that you are truly making a difference. My question today is, what happens now with SARMs, considering the FDA's warning letter a few weeks ago? And I got to be honest with you. This warning letter is like 4 years late. Four years late, easily.
Yeah. You know, for the record, based on my experience with them, I hope all SARMs go away. I really do.
Waste of money.
You know, at least until such time as they find one that really makes a difference. But we're a long way from that. And even if that did happen, you can be sure the FDA would be hot on it, so it wouldn't last long. As of just a few days ago when I looked, a lot of the research chemical sites are still selling them, but I suspect they're probably clear in stock for when they're gone. you know, and when they're gone, they're gone. A few sites may still try to sell them, and that's only going to anger the FDA even further, which is bad news, in my opinion, for one very important reason. It's going to put research peptides at risk, okay? In my opinion, any potential breakthrough in muscle building and fat loss rests with these compounds. So why do I say that? Well, for starters, these peptides aren't in any way related to testosterone, which means technically they don't violate DASCA, Designer Anabolic Steroid Control Act of 2014. Now, granted, there are other hurdles, but if there's a class of compounds that has potential, it's research peptides. Here's why. Peptides are just structural links of amino acids that tell the body to do something. And if you doubt the power of these chemicals, consider this. There's a peptide that'll cause your skin to tan, melanotan too, without the sun, mind you. There are others that heal injuries faster, BPC-157, others that boost immune function and help in achieving deep, restful sleep, to name just a few. We're talking about products that are so powerful, they can turn you different colors, okay? That's pretty powerful, you know?
I never thought about it, but you're right. You know, the first time I heard about melanotan, there was a 60 Minutes expose episode about 8 or 9 years ago where a guy did like a milligram a day of melanotan for like 3 weeks and literally made himself look like an African-American so that he could experience undercover what it's like to be African-American as far as the way people treat you, the attitudes. And it was a 60 Minutes expose, and I remember them saying he used a drug designed to tan the skin in order to achieve the, and the guy looked black. He looked like an African-American.
Yep. So that's how powerful they are. And so I ask myself, you know, why can't the same be done for muscle growth or fat loss? The possible combinations of amino sequencing are almost endless, you know, so you can't tell me there's not potential there. I have long held the belief that the body can and does have an alternate pathway to build muscle if testosterone levels are inadequate. And I would bet good money it's there. We just need to find it. You know, if you consider, for example, the body has a backup mechanism for when it runs out of glucose, right? Gluconeogenesis takes place in the liver. If it were me working with peptides for muscle growth, I'd be looking hard at the liver, too, in addition to the real big daddy, insulin. So there are all these growth factors, I think, that can certainly be leveraged. So here's the bottom line, though. Leave the SARMs alone. They promised us steroid-like gains without the side effects, but ultimately gave us the side effects and
none without the gains.
You know, so we're talking no great loss here, folks. It's time to focus in other areas.
You know, I want to mention something else. Supplement companies who do this, they know that they're going to get a letter eventually. Case in point, a couple companies introduced MK677 as an over-the-counter supplement, if you remember. And then they got letters from the FDA and they stopped. But in between the time that they launched the product and they got the letter, they made tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
This is a common practice amongst companies today to launch products that they know they shouldn't be selling. But you know the old adage, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. And so they figure we'll wait till we get the letter. In the meantime, we'll sell a bunch of it. And that's a very common practice amongst the supplement industry today that's going to bite it in its ass someday. It's going to bite it in its ass. Mike Sanders says, so I heard you were down and out last week. What happened?
Okay. So what happened was the shingles. And it went down like this. It works like this, actually. If you had the chicken pox as a kid, the virus never really goes away. It just lays dormant, apparently in or on nerve endings. We know it reemerges in adults as shingles, so that begs the question, what causes it? And from everything that I've read, you know, the same thing that causes a lot of disease, stress and a dip in immune function. So on Friday, I felt something coming on. You know, there's what I thought was a pretty big canker sore on the tip of my tongue. And the left side of my jaw started to hurt a little
bit.
Yeah,
it obviously wasn't a canker sore. It was the beginning of shingles. It was the first shingle. The roofer put down the first shingle on the tip of your tongue.
I didn't think much of it as I went to bed that night. But when I woke up, the entire left side of my face, my lips and mouth were really, really swollen. Bad. Really bad. So bad, the wife says, come on, we're going to bring you to urgent care.
And she's a nurse, right?
No, but she could be.
Okay.
The doctor looked at me, and then he looked at my tongue and my mouth for all of about 10 seconds, and he says, you got the shingles. And at that point, he prescribed me an antiviral and some painkillers, I think Percocets. So I went home and to bed thinking a good night's sleep is going to fix things. I got up Sunday, and I'm still really, really swollen on the left side of the face only, and watching the canker sore-like wound spread across the entire left side of my tongue. You draw a line right down the middle. It's just on the left side. And then it's now on the inside of my cheeks. Those Percocets I heard so much about, they weren't putting a dent in it. Nothing. I couldn't believe it. Still, I said one more night, you know, but I didn't sleep a wink. Now it was even worse, and a red rash had appeared on the left side of my face. I threw the towel in Monday morning, and I went to visit my friends at the local emergency room. The pain at that point is just excruciating. Apparently over half the nerves in your body are in your mouth. So they began intravenous morphine, and that knocked it down a little. And I could see at least the red patches on my face had stopped spreading. They were still there. They stopped spreading. At that point, they do a CAT scan on my face and head to rule out an infection. And they found what they thought was a borderline infection, and the word cellulitis was mentioned. And that sent up some big warning bells in my mind because my grandpa contracted cellulitis, which turned into a flesh-eating virus in the hospital, and he lost his leg. You know, I can only imagine what would happen if it was in my face, you know. There are no head amputations. So they start me on antibiotics. By the time I woke up Tuesday, swelling had gone down a little bit, and it looked like I had turned the corner, so they let me go home. One thing I had to keep up on discharge was an oral antibiotic and the antiviral, which was a royal pain dosing them. The antiviral isn't that bad, but it's once every 8 hours. The antibiotic's worse. It's like once every 6 hours. It's still, it beat being in the hospital, right? And every day it's gotten better from there. In terms of what I think caused it, I can only surmise that I was overtraining, or at least flirting with it. It is true that I churned through the first half of this German loading pattern 2 that I'm on at a record pace. I went through like the first 7 workouts, there are 14, in 14 or 16 days, something like that. But look at the price I paid for it. Plan your time off and stick to it, because trust me, you don't want to go through what I did. You know, giving viruses and other pathogens a window like that to bring you down is entirely preventable. Do everything you can to boost immunity, but especially keep that balance between training and rest. I learned the hard way. Your health depends on it. So
this is so close to home for me, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Adele Moussa wrote a great blog post at the beginning of the year about how pre-workouts with lots of caffeine can lead to overtraining.
Yep.
And it's because you're able to ignore fatigue, push harder anyway, basically taking the body and the nervous system hostage. Well, I am absolutely a victim of this. In fact, if John Parker's listening, he's going to laugh, because I am once again kicking caffeine. I'm limited to one cup of coffee in the morning right now. I'm coming back off of nearly 1,000 milligrams of caffeine a day. My training is going great. I'm not sleeping well. I don't feel well. I just don't. I mean, I feel exhausted all the time. And the caffeine's not working anymore. And that's when you know it's time to let it go.
Yeah.
When you're doing 1,000 milligrams, I'm taking two full scoops of Total War, a scoop and a half before my workout, a half a scoop post-workout. And then I'm drinking three or four cups of coffee. And it's not working. And I'm like, my adrenals are fried. And now, coming off of the stuff, I feel even worse, but I know I gotta stick it out. In fact, I'm leaving Thursday to go to a remote little part of upstate New York where I will not use any supplements, any peptides, anything at all. I'm putting myself in my own little detox, if you will, because I am suffering terribly because of overtraining. I am training harder and harder. I'm once again moving a lot of weight, and I feel like crap.
So you had quit it, but then you started ramping things up again?
Well, you know what happened? It starts out with one night of bad sleep. The next morning, I'm like, oh, I need some caffeine. Okay, so it starts out with a half a scoop of Total War. I love Total War. It's great stuff. Total War, half a scoop. And that half a scoop, I do, that was not so bad. I still slept okay. I'll use that to train. And that half a scoop becomes a whole scoop. And then the whole scoop becomes a scoop and a half. And then eventually it's two scoops a day. And then on top of that, it's all the other caffeine that I'm intaking, coffee, at an average of 200 milligrams a cup and having three cups a day. And so it just sneaks up on you. When you're an addict, look, I am an addict of types. I'm not addicted to heroin. I'm addicted to other things. I'm addicted to hard work. Even when I know I should take off, I'm one of those idiots. Caffeine allows you to ignore the signals from your body. It definitely makes you overtrain. I will finish my life out without dependency on caffeine. I'm telling you that right now on the air.
That's awesome.
I'm done with it. It doesn't serve me. The last time I got sick in 2005, I had to come off caffeine. I couldn't press 20-pound dumbbells. It took me 2.5 months to regain my strength after doing this once before, where I was just taking pure caffeine anhydrous a few times a day.
Wow.
Caffeine is nasty stuff. We don't realize it. We just, it's in coffee. It's good for you. You know, it's BS. It's like alcohol. It's not good for you. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have a question from Earl Dundee. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym, you will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
You've heard about turmeric, and you probably use it. It's one of the most talked about health foods in America. Pure Indian Foods sources certified organic turmeric from small farmers in India. This limited edition turmeric is standardized to contain high, naturally occurring curcumin, which is the good stuff you want. It's also lab tested for heavy metals, which you want less of in your food. Psst. Don't tell too many people about it. It's limited edition. Get yours today. Go to highcurcuminturmeric.com today to learn more.
There is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's extra virgin olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vint's banner ad and use code SHR45 and get two bottles of Papa Vint's for $45 while supplies last.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. Earl Dundee wants to know, what's your opinion on shoulder movements? I mean, the best ones, but also how often, how many reps and sets, that type of thing. Obviously, this is an important question because more people have shoulder problems than anything else.
Yeah, and it's an amazing joint. But what you gain in flexibility and dexterity, you pay for in delicacy. So, as such, it's one of the joints that's prone to overuse injuries, probably the most common. You know, between all the curls guys do and the benching and other pressing movements and then direct shoulder work, it should come as no surprise it's the most common injury. You can walk into any gym in the world, and you'll see what I mean. So, for me, training shoulders, I have one dedicated day where I have two compound movements and maybe an isolation one, something like dumbbell side lateral. So, I start my workouts, though, with gorilla push-ups. So, to perform those, you just walk your feet up as high as possible on a wall. The closer you can get to pure vertical, the better. I shoot for 2 sets of between 7 and 10 reps, and that starts the workout. From there, I do use one of the few machines that I'll use. It's a Precor seated shoulder press machine. It's much easier on the shoulders than a true barbell press, but more importantly, you can use a pronated grip, which allows you to align your wrist, elbow, and shoulder, which is not only the strongest but also the safest position that your body can be in. I will perform 2 heavier sets there, but I gun for 5-second negatives. So anywhere between 5 and 7 reps, try to up the weight once I get to 7 reps. To finish, I'll usually perform dumbbell side laterals, but this is really important, with a light weight. The exercise, and in particular the arcing motion that it uses, is not conducive to going heavier and heavier. A lot of guys chase that, and they come to regret it. Save the heavy stuff for your big shoulder movements and see the dumbbell side lateral and other movements like it for what it is. It's a finishing type exercise. I perform, let's call it, one of these dedicated shoulder workouts about once every 10 days. Why so infrequently? Well, you know, my shoulders get a hell of a lot of work on my upper body push and pull days. Now, I'm going to confess, shoulders are probably, you know, my best body part. They grow the easiest. Other people might need more work. The other thing you want to ensure for shoulder health is working the rear delt as hard as the front. And to me, that's most easily done supersetting chest and back exercises in escalating density training fashion. That way you can perfectly manage the set for set and rep for rep totals such that the front and rear delts get equal work. If you ever want to know if somebody has greatly overdeveloped front delts, you can see these people coming a mile away in the gym. Their palms are rotated backwards. So if their arms are just hanging at their sides at rest, palms are facing backwards, the front deltoid is way overdeveloped. They're just, you know, you might as well set the appointment up with your with your doctor, because a shoulder injury is on the way. So just strive to get balance and, like everything else, progressive resistance in the big basic movements. That served me well. I think it'll serve most people well.
Next question comes from Greg Goulet. He says, I'm a Canadian, so a lot of the stuff you guys can get in the U.S. is off-limits here. I know, they can't even get melatonin there. I can get things like DHEA. I can't get things like DHEA, for example, where I am. And is DHEA any good, by the way? And now that I'm beyond the newbie stage, what supplements should I be buying? I heard whey hydrolysate. Hydrolysates. Yeah. I've never heard of that word. I think he means hydrolysates are good.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he just misspelled it.
Yeah.
So as I understand it, some Canadian provinces are quirkier than others on what's allowed. I wouldn't call not being able to get DHEA a terrible loss. Although it's used to make testosterone, orally it's a crapshoot because it can also convert to estrogen. Still, it's important to know what your DHEA levels are and to optimize them, in my opinion. My levels actually came out way above normal most recently because I use adaptogen N at night, and it's got a smidgen of DHEA DHEA in there, right? It's just one, though, in a very long list of things that need to happen to make testosterone. So I'm going to assume you're younger, so unless, you know, you think there's reason to believe otherwise, I'll also assume your test and free test levels are normal. With that proviso, we can now discuss other supplements. Whey hydrolysates are certainly pushed as effective intra-workout products, and I would agree to a certain extent. The problem is that most of the commercial store-bought products claiming whey hydrolysates either, one, don't have any, or two, more frequently, contain just window dressing amounts. Hydrolysates in general have tons of proline bonds, which makes them very, very bitter. If anyone has used something like Pepto-Pro, you know what I'm talking about. It's extremely bitter and tough to get down. And it's not the best option, in my opinion. I looked into using them years ago. I used probably the first product of its type on the market. It was Athletica's, I forget the name of it now, but it had a molecular weight of 400 Daltons, which was incredibly low. Tasted awful. Yes, it worked to a certain extent, but I was convinced I could do better. So when I created Synthogen, I opted for all 9 essential aminos instead. They work much better, in my opinion, and they're easier to work with. Why? You can change the ratios of the aminos around and play with it. I know for a fact plenty of essential aminos and whey hydrolysates do make it into Canada, so custom shouldn't be an issue. You know, for me, it's Synthogen. Obviously, I'm biased, but look, a lot of people use it and love it. It's going to give you everything you need to progress rapidly, provided your diet and training are in order. You can train harder. You can train more frequently and more productively on it, and more people are finding that out. Your next stop may be creatine. And a lot of people raise eyebrows and are like, man, everybody knows creatine's the one that works. Why not just use it out of the gate? Well, there are a couple reasons for that, but not the least of which is, why would you pull your ace out of your back pocket to start the game? You know, you always save it for last. Synthogen already does a lot of what creatine accomplishes, and this is the important part, minus the weight gain. I personally feel you get a lot more ATP for your buck. It recycles it faster, and that's just one of the many energy substrates it replenishes. Beyond that, a quality protein powder like Thrive is also a must. Why is that so? To gain optimally, you need to eat around 1 gram per pound of lean body mass daily on the days you train and in the 24 to 48 hours thereafter. We know from studies protein synthesis spikes up to 48 hours in those that are under the age of 40 and for about 24 hours after the age of 40. Thrive is going to go a long way toward helping you meet that goal. But more importantly, you should be using it at two key times. Number one, immediately post-workout, and prior to sleep. I think those are the two times that it makes the most sense to use. It excels in both environments, and it outperforms even whole foods. Why? You get extremely rapid absorption from the essential amino acids included, and up to a 7-hour duration where protein synthesis is elevated, mostly by virtue of the slow micellar casein protein, naturally inherent in cow's milk. So that's it. A quality intra-workout, a high-quality intact protein like Thrive, and maybe creatine. Maybe. I like having it in my back pocket when I'm closing in on a new PR. Why? Creatine allows you to maybe get a rep or two more. And that one extra rep could be your new one rep max. So that's it. I hope it helps. I know it's bare bones minimal, but there's not one wasted penny in the recommendations that I just gave you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we have a question from Ricky Price. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour. Stay tuned. We shall return.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
There is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's extra virgin olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vint's banner ad and use code SHR45 and get 2 bottles of Papa Vint's for $45 while supplies last.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com www.quest-protein.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
If you followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. So Ricky Price says, I understand you're big on the fundamentals of training, diet, and rest. I've also heard you talk extensively about supplements. In your opinion, does the market currently offer anything that's really worth it? I mean, outside of the ones you usually talk about.
Yeah, you know, look, it seems nothing comes close to touching steroids, right? Which are 60 years on, still the benchmark. So the simple, honest answer to your question is no. I do not consider the current crop of products to deliver anything meaningful beyond creatine, Synthogen, Progenadrex, or Thrive, to name four. Let's rewind to understand how we came to this point and why anything beyond what I just listed is really just funny money. If you've got it, great, but man, a lot of it's going to be wasted. Up until the late 1980s, there wasn't a single product on the market that provided a measurable increase to your strength, recovery, or rate of muscle growth. Actually, I would be remiss not to mention liver tablets. But be that as it may, everything else was a big waste of money. The early 90s, though, was a totally different story. The first truly effective pre-workout hit the market, that being Dan Duchesne's Ultimate Orange. You can also credit Mr. Duchesne for introducing whey protein shortly thereafter. Other odds and ends like GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid, and tribulus had undeniable effects. You took them, you felt something. It was a very exciting time. And to make things even better, shortly thereafter, creatine was brought into the fold. And suddenly, here was a product that went way beyond anything before it. You know, imagine then being a consumer during this time. You went from nothing at all working, with the exception of liver tabs, to all of a sudden, there were a half dozen or so effective supplements you could use. And I'll never forget it. I was in my early 20s. And what an exciting time. later on that decade, late in the 90s, saw the introduction of Andro. And what played out over the next 8 years or so, I consider to be the second golden age of steroids. Meaning, you could literally walk into GNC or go online and purchase a bottle of methyl 1 test, which was no pro-hormone. It was an honest-to-goodness steroid, every bit as powerful as D-ball, and according to some who use both, Anadrol 50, which is really saying something. That party ended in 2004. Or 2005, with the government stepping in and scheduling every pro-hormone that they, or steroid or otherwise, that they could name. There would be feeble attempts, and still are, I think, to introduce quasi-anabolic compounds, but the writing was on the wall, right? The party was over. No more anabolics for you and me. The difference between these two time periods, the early 90s, and around the millennium, the late 90s, was this: innovation and minds. In the early 1990s, there were some really great thinkers in our business that were entering the field and introducing truly novel compounds. Pro-hormone hysteria, on the other hand, largely involved companies digging through Vita's text, the man who wrote the Bible on steroids, to find steroids or pro-hormones that were never brought to the market as drugs. They were tested by pharmaceutical companies, but for one reason or another, never made it to market. What these companies did was they found these compounds, they had them made very cheaply in China, and then they turned around and sold them as supplements. By my count then, it has been 21 long years since the last benchmark product existed, that being creatine. Nothing has touched it since, and I see nothing on the horizon that's going to change that. I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, let's be honest. They're still trying to reinvent HMB. So, here's the game plan. Invest in products, number one, that speed recovery and healing. You'll never go wrong with that. Number two, facilitate greater conversion of food to muscle. You'll never go wrong with that. Three, get on creatine. And four, ensure high-quality, adequate protein intake. Everything beyond that is just playing. And personally, I take my money, take that money and put it towards my retirement. I hope I am wrong. I hope the next creatine is out there. But I look long and hard every day, and I haven't found it yet.
I got to mention a supplement that works.
Okay.
But it's not what you think. So you've talked about food being the most anabolic of anything, right?
No question.
But most of us can't eat enough.
Yeah.
And especially in today's day and age, so many people, when they're bulking, they get bloated right away, and they can't eat every 3 hours.
Yep.
I got to tell you, we have a sponsor. This is a complete pimp job.
Yeah.
A Trantil. You take two of those with every meal, you don't feel full after you finish eating.
What's it called?
A Trantil. So I've been promoting it on the show for a while. I'm getting emails from guys who are bulking and saying, I couldn't eat as much food as I've been eating if it wasn't for this product. The one time I miss it, I get bloated after my meal. This stuff is amazing. If you want to eat more, if food is anabolic, and the more you eat, the bigger you'll get, and you want to eat more and not be uncomfortable, get yourself a bottle of a Trantil. Go to the website and click the link and tell me that I feel different when I take two of those with a meal. I don't feel like I've eaten.
Is it on your friends?
Yeah, it's on Super Radio. It's banner ads all over the place. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, check it out. So Bill Cahill, on the heels of a shoulder question, wants to know how your shoulder is.
Yeah, you know, if you recall, I had an MRI done. I have a torn labrum. I did it way back in June, so it's coming up on, 5 months now of almost no upper body training. Now, I reason why that, while that healed, I would go off on offense on box squats, and that's exactly what I've been doing. Still, you would think that with 5 months of upper body inactivity, I'd be shrinking. Nope, not even close. I can't say that I'm bigger, but I have lost not one iota of scale weight, and more importantly, my measurements are the same. How did I pull that off? Well, when you build yourself up over many decades, that muscle isn't going anywhere, even with long periods of inactivity. And for the record, I've started back doing uneven chin-ups and one-arm push-ups on the left side of my body. I have no injuries there. There is some research, believe it or not, pointing to the fact that if you only train the left side of your body, the right side will grow too. So, food for thought. But back to the torn labrum. The plan was to rest it for a month to see how it went. If by the end of this month it's not better, then if it is better, then no surgery, and I'll start back cautiously. If it isn't, then I'll have the surgery. For the first 2 weeks, it just wasn't getting any better. There was nothing, it is what it is. It still hurts. As a last-ditch effort, I ordered some BPC 157 and began that around the 15th. Now, I figured if anything was going to work, it'd be this stuff, right? On the 17th, my shingles episode began, culminating in an ER visit on the 20th. So for around 5 full days, I was forced to do nothing. And as I sit here now, it's pain-free. I can move it straight out to the side, which was, causing great pain before. It was totally pain-free. Now, mind you, though, I haven't tested it yet. So was it the rest, or was it the BPC 157, or is it a combination of both? I honestly don't know. I suspect some combination, but being pain-free is awesome. I'm going to start back in a few days going easy at first and then seeing where I'm at. Hopefully, I'll avoid surgery and move on. Remains to be seen. I got to make a call in the next 3 days. The whole thing, though, is a great example of good things happening when some very bad things were, too. Right? Because when you train yourself, train other people, have jiu-jitsu on top of all that, it never truly gets a rest. But when you're flat on your back in the hospital, you don't have a choice. The shoulder gets complete rest. The lesson here, some injuries need complete rest to heal. Not a little bit of rest, not minimal rest, complete. And a shot of BPC 157 certainly couldn't hurt. So I appreciate your question. I've got my fingers crossed. But either way, I'm still gaining. And that's not changing anytime soon.
So. Instead of taking a break, let's just go ahead and roll right into the blueprint tip of the day. How's that sound?
Yeah, sure. So the tip of the day is this. My thoughts on healthcare in the United States. Hmm. So my recent emergency room visit gave me time to reflect on the medical establishment, prescription drugs, acute versus preventative care, and other matters. So let's take it from the top. It's worth discussing because some of my comments are probably going to surprise you. But more importantly, I want them to help you in the event that you need the same services that I had. I hope everyone listening can benefit. Generally speaking, most that keep the flame of physical culture are skeptical, and rightfully so, of doctors, drugs, and the medical orthodoxy in general. I have had an opportunity to speak with many of the doctors and the nurses. Plus, I saw it from the insurance side, medical insurance, and I've been a patient in addition to being a strength athlete. So given all those angles, here is what I see. We don't have a healthcare system in this country. We have a sick care system. And so consequently, for everyone listening, there are two very different worlds we live in, and it's where the two meet that's problematic. On the one hand, you're perfectly healthy, you do a great job balancing training, diet, and rest, you practice preventative medicine, you take a lot of supplements, and let's say you see the doctor for maybe just an annual physical. From that vantage point, those in the medical orthodoxy have at best little to offer, and at worst, they're trying to hook you on their drugs. That and the draconian FDA continues to take our supplements away in an effort to protect Big Pharma. Any attempt to enhance your health beyond normal is viewed as irresponsible by most medical professionals. Remember, they're used to getting sick people healthy, not healthy people superhuman. On the other hand, let's say you're perfectly healthy and then you're overcome by the shingles like I was. I got to tell you, the pain was way beyond what I could tolerate, and I was fresh out of home remedies, although I was within a couple days of implementing what you had suggested, Carl. At that point, I'm sick, I know it, and I'm hurting, so it's off to the ER. As piss poor as they are at preventative medicine, I am a firm believer in the fact that we enjoy the best acute care in the world, right? Now, if you find yourself in a compromising position, you would too. Let's say you get in a car wreck and your arm gets torn off. Are you going to go looking for a natural cure at that point? No. Look, there's nothing wrong with going to the hospital. In some cases, they can save your life if you otherwise didn't go. Now, I suppose I could have stayed home and continued to take these antivirals prescribed to me. But the pain was bad enough, these Percocets and Oxy, whatever they gave me, didn't put a dent in it. It took IV morphine to bring the pain down to a manageable level. I would have also missed the fact that I had what they said was an infection brewing. You know, nobody confirmed it, but again, the worry was that it was cellulitis. And you know, from there, getting into my lymph nodes. So I'm glad I went to the hospital so that they could get a handle on that. As for prescription drugs, I have a problem with them, like I know many of you do. Now, some people need pharmaceutical drugs, right? Think insulin for diabetics. But there are far and away many more that are unnecessarily suffering from the legal drug pushers called doctors. You heard of the opioid crisis? There wouldn't be one if doctors gave out their opioid-based painkillers so liberally. And the FDA is also complicit, and there is no doubt in my mind they exist to protect Big Pharma, not help average everyday Americans like they should be. So in my opinion, here's the best game plan for bringing balance to this equation. First things first, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. In other words, practice preventative medicine by doing all that you can to build a strong immune system. That also means balancing your training demands, right, since overtraining lacks immunity. And it may be that I and this whole episode of the shingles could have been avoided. So going forward then, for me, in addition to maintaining a better balance between training and rest, it's no less than 3 grams of vitamin C a day, along with generous amounts of E, zinc, ginger, garlic, and or shiitake mushrooms, as there are many mushrooms that have been shown to boost immunity. If that strategy avoids just one episode of the flu or the shingles, etc., it's worth it. You know, as for the doctors, I would say at least visit a GP once a year. You know, that's not a lot to ask, right? He can run blood work and, if necessary, test things such as, you know, like a PSA that can catch things early so that you can do something about it. Try not to fight with him or be adversarial. Some of the younger doctors are open to many of the things that we do, and the both of you together are a lot more powerful tag team versus just one of you. You do what you're best at. Let him do what he's best at. Finally, don't get sloppy, and make sure to keep yourself in tip-top shape. Most cases of the shingles I've been reading take anywhere from 2 to 8 weeks to fully resolve. 5 weeks was about the norm, given maybe a dozen people that I've talked to that have had them. I did it in 1 week. Not saying I'm Superman, am saying it matters what kind of shape you're in when you come down with something like a viral infection. you will likely recover much faster and under much more favorable terms if you're in good shape going into it. I hope everyone stays healthy as we move into the holidays. You can't buy good health, but you can and should invest in preventative medicine in an effort to obtain it. Long way of saying, be on guard, guys. Don't let your immunity take a dip.
So I'm just looking at something that kind of fits into this discussion, and that is Anthony Roberts just released Dallas McCarver's autopsy results.
Oh, wow.
And I'll just read it real quick. Dallas McCarver, IFBB professional bodybuilder, died after an unwitnessed cardiac event. He arrived at the hospital in full cardiac arrest.
I thought he choked.
Listen. Event contributed to by a combination of coronary arterial sclerosis, a buildup of plaque in his arteries, and an enlarged left ventricle, which is common with anabolic steroid and heavy lifting. A thickening of the heart muscle that causes it to work harder. McCarver had a family history of cardiovascular disease, including both hypertension and arteriosclerosis. Dallas was found on the floor in his living room with the food scattered around his body shortly after midnight on August 22nd, 2017. Paramedics were called, and he arrived at the hospital in full cardiac arrest. He was pronounced dead at 1:03 a.m. An autopsy was performed the following day. Noted at the time of autopsy was an enlarged liver and kidneys, nephrosclerosis, which is a hardening of the liver, heavy lungs, I don't know what that is, and maybe fluid in the lungs, I don't know, heavy lungs, and papillary thyroid carcinoma, which means you could probably feel the lump in his thyroid. Prior medical history includes cholesterol issues, high LDL, HDL, elevated aminotransferase levels, a chronic cough and shortness of breath, and childhood asthma. If you're going around life with shortness of breath, you really need to get to the doctor. This speaks to what Rob is talking about. Don't be stupid. Here's something interesting. His testosterone levels were within normal range at the time of death, despite having an elevated epitestosterone level, parenthetically, indication of testosterone replacement, though not abuse per se. Trenbolone metabolites were also present. Screening for additional steroids was negative, although he tested positive for caffeine and marijuana metabolites, neither of which were mentioned as contributing factor to his death. No other recreational drugs or narcotics were present. Also noted parenthetically, but neither tested for nor listed as a contributing factor in Dallas's death, was a prior history of growth hormone and insulin use. So he died from clogged arteries.
And he was in his 20s.
He was in his 20s. So
much for choking on your food.
Well, but you know, arteries get clogged because of inflammation.
Yeah.
You know, the food he was eating, maybe the supplements he was eating, I don't know. But, I mean, in his 20s, he had clogged arteries already. This is scary stuff for many of us out there.
Vitamin K. K2, K4, K6.
D. I mean, all the vitamins. But more importantly, doing things that reduce inflammation. That's the key to avoiding arteriosclerosis. I'm gonna tell people something, and years from now, you're going to hear about it, and you're going to, wow, Carl was ahead of his time. If you get a lot of plaque buildup on the back of your teeth, you're getting plaque in your arteries, too. If you don't have a lot of plaque buildup on the back of your teeth, you know, when you go to the doctors, if they have to scale that stuff off, you got like, it looks like plaster of Paris on the inside of your bottom teeth where your tongue is. Yep. You've got that in your arteries too. If you don't have, my teeth are smooth and round. I can feel the separation between each tooth. If yours is like one monolith of plaster, you need to think about what you're eating and what you're doing to your body, because that's happening inside your arteries too. Because remember, the reason saliva testing works is that saliva is a natural filtrate of the blood. And if you're getting plaque on your teeth, like lots of calculus, they call it, it almost looks like plaster, that's happening inside your body too. Hey, Rob, next week, brother.
Thank you, Carl, for having me.
And stay tuned. We'll be right back with Military Fitness Radio with Nate Morrison. Stay tuned.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. I'll get around to making intro music for Nate Morrison soon. For military. You know, we're getting a lot of... I sent you that email, I think, from a guy who's deployed and said he's telling all his friends about it, and people are listening to the show. Because the reality is our government doesn't do enough to prepare our warriors, and we're going to talk about that. But there was something you wanted to comment on. You were listening to the last episode with Rob Regish, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And what an honor to follow Rob today. That's really cool. Hopefully I can fill those shoes. But he ended the segment with talking about the medical system, and I've been in medicine now for over 25 years. And I just wanted to basically lend a little bit of credence to what he was saying. He is absolutely right. we really are. The United States of America is number one in the world by a very long shot in acute trauma care. So if you have something that happens and you're going to die in the next, 2 minutes to 2 hours, or even in the next day, I mean, there is no better place than anywhere in the United States to be. The problem is that after the fact, this long-term care thing is completely broken. They have no idea what they're doing. And you're right, they're completely bought off by Big Pharma and everything. And I've seen that from the inside. So he's 100% right on that.
Did you hear me read Dallas McCarver's autopsy?
I did, and I had some comments on that.
Yeah, first of all, what a heavy lungs. I've never heard of that before.
That's generally first of all, I'd love to meet the doctor. That's the type of thing that you see in really old guys. But heavy lungs is generally fluid in the lungs. And the reason for that is that when you get, when people are in cardiac arrest and various cardiac events, what can happen is it becomes a function of high blood pressure. And so what happens is blood pressure will be so high that it starts literally squeezing water out of the blood into the lungs.
Yeah, and more, we're talking about pulmonary blood pressure, and we're talking about pulmonary edema, really, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's right. That's the exactly correct term. But that's not the big thing that I wanted to focus on. What I wanted to focus on was that left ventricle enlargement. And this is what I think most people don't understand about this type of myopathy. You have two different types of what are called ventricular hypertrophy. And you have concentric, which is what you had.
And eccentric, yeah.
And eccentric, right? And so for the listeners, if they don't understand the difference, what happens is the nerves in your heart go through right in the center of the muscle. So imagine you've got a nerve that's in the center of your bicep or your pec muscle tissue, so to speak. The problem is that it doesn't adapt. So as things get bigger in the heart, this is one of the differences with cardiac muscle versus skeletal muscle. As that muscle thickens, what happens is there is no innervation to that muscle tissue. And so what will happen is the nerve will fire, but only the tissue on the very inside of that muscle will actually contract. And at a certain point, the tissue on the inside and the outside stop contracting. And that's where you start to run into problems, of course, because if that left ventricle does not squeeze the blood out, and at the same time it usually grows over the exit where the coronary arteries exit the left ventricle, it overgrows that. And so the opening there gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So this is just kind of your perfect storm, if you will, that just builds up and builds up and builds up, and then you have about five different things that go wrong all at the same time. And it's just a ticking time bomb, and it you don't know how long the clock is going to run out for. And then it just goes, bam! And so where you see this is in people that don't do enough aerobic work.
Bingo.
To keep the, right, to develop eccentric hypertrophy, which is, instead of the wall of the heart getting thicker, what happens is the left ventricle chamber itself gets larger.
Right.
And you really want that because that means you pump more blood.
Sabina Scala, who's a strength and conditioning coach from the UK, who trains a lot of MMA fighters, talked about the importance of doing at least two sessions a week, 40 minutes, of just the kind of walk that you would take if you were walking your dog.
Yeah.
And here's something interesting that people don't realize. Those of us who've been around fireplaces, I know, Nate, you have quite a few wood-burning stoves. If you've ever used a bellows, you have to use force to close the bellows, but you have to use force to open the bellows, too. The heart works the same way. People think that when the heart is squeezing, it's working, but that when it's reopening, it's relaxing. It's not true. It's working just as hard to open. If you don't work the muscles that open the heart, but only work the muscles that compress the blood out of the heart, you get this kind of problem.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. It's another thing that they don't tell you that's never put out there. And really, this falls on the feet of, I think guys like Joe Weider. Everyone points at the muscle building thing, build your biceps, build your chest, build your legs, this, that, and the other thing. But what they don't tell you is that guys like Jay Cutler who, you know, if you follow bodybuilding, Jay Cutler is a huge dude. And he's absolutely using lots of steroids. That's the only way that you get that big. But what they don't tell you, they'll tell you, oh, this is Jay Cutler's arm routine and all that kind of thing. What they don't tell you is that that man does 2 hours a day.
Of cardio.
7 days a week.
Yeah.
Of, right.
He had a step mill in his garage. He's doing an hour a day on the step mill alone.
Yeah, with a heart rate monitor on to make sure he was in the right zone. They don't tell you that.
What is the right zone, Nate?
Well, you've got to do a little bit of calculation, but just right off the bat, I don't care who you are. I kind of like the way that the Soviets did it. 120 beats a minute to 150 beats a minute. Just keep it in that zone, regardless of age, and you'll be fine.
I'll tell you something
else. We have to talk about calculation.
I'm going to tell you a secret supplement. I'm actually getting ready to write a blog on this. It's the only reason why it's at the top of my head. Copper.
Copper, yeah.
Copper is depleted in most bodybuilders. And in rat model studies where they used an aortic clamp to create back pressure, to create cardiac hypertrophy, and weakening of the muscles, copper completely reverses it. So all those bodybuilders out there should be taking at least 2 milligrams of supplemental copper, chelated copper a day to help protect their heart from falling prey to this kind of stuff.
Right, right. And probably lots of folks will be. I'll look forward to the blog. Please let me know when it comes out, and I'll try to keep my eyes open because I'll share it on all of my platforms. The one thing I want to say to that, I'm sure you've got some information on it, is that one of the things that people don't understand about supplements and everything else out there is that there's what's called in the medical world a therapeutic dose.
Right.
And so it sounds like, and I haven't done the research, but it sounds like, you know, 2 milligrams is the therapeutic dose.
It is. It's about 200% of the RDA. It is.
Right. So the caution that I throw out to people is that it doesn't mean that 6 milligrams is better.
Right.
A lot of times the difference between a lot of these things is that, you know, 2 milligrams may be great and 6 will kill you. Well, in the case of, say, morphine.
But you're absolutely right. In fact, in the case of copper, if you take too much copper, you'll start to become lethargic. You'll start to become fuzzy-minded. You won't be able to think clearly. You'll think to yourself, what the hell's wrong with me? So too much copper can actually make you feel euphoric in a bad way, but the right amount of copper can protect your heart.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, and you have a lot of other things. Neurotransmitters, for example, when it comes to dopamine has completely different effects depending on the dose that you give. And we say that from the medical perspective as if we are administering it, but things like mood and attitude and sympathetic nervous stimulation and all that affects natural levels of dopamine in your body. And so you can automatically dose yourself into negative effects that you don't want just by having an improper lifestyle, if you will. So it's a pretty important topic. We should probably do a show about that someday.
Absolutely. But we have a very important show today to do. So
yeah.
Recently I tagged you in a video of an army soldier doing a very impressive workout, a very physical workout. And I said to you in that particular post, what do you think, Nate? Is this transfer to any usefulness in the field, or is it basically entertaining? And the reality is, just because that guy can do those things doesn't mean he can put a rucksack on his back and literally jog for 10 miles, show up in the field, and be ready to fight just because he can do those fancy things. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the multidisciplined nature of military training and how the government doesn't really understand it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, on that post, I mean, that guy's got a number of different videos out there. He's definitely promoting himself a bit. And he's in the Army. There's another guy who's a Marine. And I think they've got kind of an online Instagram rivalry going on. And, I mean, man, these guys are super impressive if you're a gymnast. If you're a gymnast, man, these guys are wow. You know?
Yeah, right.
But you know, I've seen a lot of these guys, and it just, you know, the big thing there, you know, that screams at me from the ether is specificity and said principle. And it's like, yeah, that's really impressive. But what happens if we don't feed that guy? What happens if he doesn't have a lot of sleep? And what happens if I put 100 pounds on his back and we're doing, 20 miles today? Yeah.
Well, you know. I gotta speak up here, right? So
yeah.
This guy has got a magnificent physique. If he is a physique competitor, he's probably 240 pounds or so, very, very lean. Mm-hmm. But he's got to feed those 240 pounds with a lot of calories. He's the guy that mm-hmm. you spoke about last show.
Yeah,
who goes into the brush 240 and comes out 178.
Yep. That's exactly right. Like I said, and this is the other thing that people don't understand about the military that I know a lot of guys are going to appreciate me bringing to the forefront is, I promise you that guy is, I can't promise you, I misspoke. Chances are very high that guy is not in combat arms. He is not infantry. He's definitely not special operations. He's probably a finance clerk. And you see this a lot where people don't understand. Only 7% of the military is the trigger pullers. The rest of them are support. So usually, and nothing against them as human beings. I mean, that's great. I encourage it. But they're not the trigger pullers. They're not the guys going in harm's way. They're the finance clerks. You know, they're the medical technicians that never leave the hospital. That kind of thing. And those jobs are perfect for building that kind of physique and performance. And it's really impressive. But when you say, our special forces should do that. Nope. No way. Not a chance.
Well, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about specificity for a second. I mean, if you're a warrior, if you're a combat warrior, if you're one of those 7%,
mm-hmm.
you have so many disciplines to train for. You've got to run. You've got to have agility. You've got to have balance. You've got to have strength, core strength. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to have the ability to focus. I mean, you're taking a shot. I mean, it's easy to train to be a power lifter when your primary lift that you're shooting for is the squat. You got one job. But a combat soldier, he's got like a dozen jobs. How does he train for all of them? And how do they, one, not rob from the other?
Yeah. Well, let's first look at the actual job description here, if you will, or how an actual mission goes. And I'll tell you, for the folks that are the kind of the tacticians out there and may have been looking at things like Iraq over the last decade, things have changed and continue to change radically. And the reason I bring that up is that there was a lot of years, and in some places it's still true, where what you do is you're vehicle mounted and you don't ever really walk or run more than about 100 meters. And that's kind of your reality at that point. But what's happening is the enemy knows that, hey, if we kind of match that type of thing, we're going to get creamed. And so what they're doing is they're going lighter, faster, smaller, further, staying out of urban areas and all that kind of thing, trying to draw people out into the remote areas. And so what we've got now is, where you need a lot more guys that are light and lean that can go all day because they're chasing dudes through the mountains and through the deserts and all that on foot, So we're kind of back to one of the more classical models of military operations where what happens is you get dropped off at point A and you have 100 pounds of gear on your back and you walk for 3 days. When you walk, you get to a certain point, then what you're going to do is you're going to figure out what you need for this particular raid or combat operation. Let's say you're on the outskirts of a town or something. You drop a bunch of your load, you take what you're going to need for battle, and then you do a tactical advance movement to contact. And so that's a little bit lighter, it's a little bit faster, and sometimes there's a break and sometimes there's not. Anywhere within this entire thing, by the way, you may be overcoming obstacles, climbing mountains, this type of thing. Then contact happens. And when contact happens, you are in, the fight of your life. It's, you're hitting the ground, you're moving on the ground, you're up, you're sprinting, you're overcoming smaller obstacles, you're working as a team, all this sort of thing. And then, rinse and repeat. And sometimes they tell you when you get done with one, you've got another one. Or, you know, any number of possibilities emerge from that. So that's the reality of what you're trying to train for. And if you think for a moment that just training in the gym is going to prepare you for that, it's not. And the thing that people get wrapped around is they say, well, you know, I knew a guy, or this one time I did it, or, you know, sure, I think it can. But what they don't look at is that, yeah, it's like what Pavel Tsatsouline used to say all the time. He said, can you fire a cannon from a canoe? And the answer is, of course you can, once. So what I'm,
once?
You know, right? So what I'm getting at is that if you do that and then go out and give it your all and destroy your body, destroy your physiology, you can't repeat that. And it usually is the reason why people only do maybe only 4 years in the military, because after 4 years, they're beat so hard, they can't keep going. You know, their mind, their body, everything is shot. So my focus is, how do we get these guys to be able to do this and keep doing it for 20 or 30 years? And it's easy. It's very possible, but you have to change the training style. You can't train like a gym rat, which is what everyone's doing now.
Right.
You have to train like a triathlete, a multidiscipline, multi-sport approach that covers all of your primary bases. So, you know, for me...
But see, for a triathlete, it's easy. And that's because he knows he's got to swim. He knows he's got to ride a bike. He knows he's got to run. So,
yeah.
But I mean, basically, current military training, as you point out in your notes, mm-hmm. it's a hell of a lot of weightlifting, some calisthenics, and a little bit of running. And clearly, the job calls for more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't do that very well either. In fact, they do it terribly. We've never had more people that are overweight and obese in the military in history, ever. We've never had so many injuries, ever. The majority of those injuries, over 90%, are preventable and caused by the physical fitness training program at the unit level. You know, it just goes on and on and on. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say was, let's take a break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, let's talk about what do soldiers really do?
Mm-hmm.
Let's lay it out. Just like I said, you know, the triathlete knows he's got to swim, he's got to bike, and he's got to jog. So what do soldiers need to do for the job? How about that?
You got it.
Okay, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Nate Morrison. This is Military Fitness Radio. Share it around. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil. Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it,
you'll gain with it.
There is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's Extra Virgin Olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vint's banner ad and use code SHR45 and get two bottles of Papa Vint's for $45 while supplies last.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Uh-oh, hold on. Get my drink on and my smoke on. Okay, we have Nate back. Yeah, your line dropped, the phone line dropped.
Oh, no.
So that's okay. All right, so let's talk about this. So what do soldiers really need to be ready for? What is their what really do they do?
Well, when it comes to classifying what, you know, the actual physical activities that they do, you've got, A through K here. First of all, there's walking long distances, but not just walking long distances, being able to do that at high speed. And that's with or without weapons, helmets, equipment, that kind of thing. Then there's specifically pack walking, also called ruck marching. Same thing, long distance, high speed, any terrain. And, you know, the big thing that people don't understand, the huge thing that really, really separates the military guy, the soldier, the combat arms soldier, from everyone else out there is that he's doing his job loaded. He has an external load, and he never doesn't have an external load. And so that does bring about some interesting and unique strength requirements that he needs to have to offset that or to mitigate and compensate for that. Then he has to be a runner, a middle distance runner up to 5K and for, up to 10K for special operations. He has to have sprint endurance because you don't just sprint once in combat. You may be sprinting for the next 18 hours. Then you've got to have what I call combative gymnastics. And that's, that is actually a very technical term. I'm kind of a stickler for definitions, but that includes grass drills, which is getting to and from the ground, guerrilla drills, which is ground movement skills like crawling, and what are called lower acrobatics in Russia, which are complex movements for fighting. So basically think about all the little movement techniques that are complex that you use, say, in grappling like jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I teach here. And those also, by the way, those same skills are really critical for negotiating obstacles. Speaking of obstacles, you have to be able to swim. Most folks don't really make their guys swim. The Marine Corps has some minimal standards for that. But the fact of the matter is that if you get, you know, knocked into a canal in Iraq or you have to cross a river in Brazil or whatever it is, you need to know how to swim and you have to be comfortable in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Climbing is important, whether it's rocks or in an urban setting. And then you have to have, when it comes to biomotor abilities, you have to have a lot of strength stamina. so that you've got this, you know, you can have the same power output all day long, not where you peak in 20 minutes, you've given it all you've got, and then for the rest of the day, you're slow, you're weak, you're worn out.
Well, and right there, mm-hmm. that separates the quote-unquote bodybuilder type from the soldier, because the bodybuilder yeah. type is good for an hour, and then he's done. He's got to go eat and rest and rest yep. his legs, you know what I mean?
Right. And yeah, that's exactly right. And what that does is it really places the soldier into the athlete category, because and not a strength athlete category. I should make that distinction. Because what we're just trying to do is take everything that I already listed, and we're just trying to give him the ability to have more power output in those activities for longer. Mm-hmm. We're not looking to build muscle. We're not looking to lift super, super heavy weights, all that kind of fun stuff. We need him to be able to go all day doing those things. And then tomorrow and the next day and the next day.
Right, right. And be able to bounce back with a normal sleep rest period. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Now with that, now and then you're going to need a little bit of explosive strength stamina. So again, not the type of, it's not Olympic weightlifting type of explosiveness, because that's the same category, right? It's a one-time event, a momentary thing. If you're climbing, if you're in urban warfare, if you have to get into a hand-to-hand scuffle, or even there's a lot of different activities that you can find yourself in, you've got to be able to get explosive. And apply that
to overcome. I mean, if you're fighting with somebody,
yeah.
you can't say, "Hey, can I rest for a minute? I wasn't ready for this."
Right.
You got to be able to explode and do it for as long as you need to do it.
Right, right. And it's one of the differences between true military combatives and everything else, is that there are no rest periods. You're fighting this guy until one of you is dead, or at least injured enough that the other one can get away.
Right.
You know. So you've got to have true stamina there, and no one's building that except for the folks that I work with. And then, of course, you have the unarmed hand-to-hand fighting skills and the armed combat skills. Both of those run the gamut from extremely gross, low skill to extremely fine, high motor skill. So within all of that, then, you have to really separate it out, because if you look at that, you go, well, it looks like what we should be doing is simulating the combat operation every single day to keep guys fit. And wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be just fantastic. But you have to then break that up, and you have to train the way that athletes do. And at the very lowest level of this, what you have to do is you have to say, what are my big couple of events or disciplines that I need to do? Like, what is the base of my pyramid? Because some of these things we can ramp up very quickly. For example, we can run people through a shooting course and bring their level of skill way up. We can do teamwork drills. We can do all kinds of stuff like that to bring a unit up really quick, really fast. So we don't have to do that all the time. So what are the things that we have to develop and maintain as the base of the pyramid? And that's pretty simple. It's rough marching, which is also called pack walking. It's running and it's swimming, because those things are extremely perishable. If you don't train them consistently, you're going to lose them. And when you lose them, you don't get them back quickly. It takes many, many, many months, if not years, to get those things back. From there, we can work on some of the other stuff within our training. So really what I do in what I call the military multi-sport model is we train ruck marching, running, and swimming. And we, of course, as a part of that, we train strength. You know, we do strength and conditioning, usually with kettlebells and body weight, to develop the appropriate strength, stamina, and explosiveness that the guys need. And that's the approach that we take. And we do it in the right order, in the right way. We do it very surgically, unlike what everyone else is doing out there, which is just this random, well, what are we going to do today? Well, let's smoke the daylights out of the guys, and let's do this and let's do that. And, you know, the problem is that nobody's measuring this performance. And when they do measure it, the standard is so pathetically low. And I'm talking like sixth grade girls' cross-country standards, not high school, not JV, not varsity, you know, certainly not national level, collegiate, and certainly not world class. It's pathetically low standards. And so when they say, well, this is the standard we train to, I passed my Army PT test, they're missing the forest for the trees in a big, big way.
So do our enemy train more than us, or do they train? Where do we fall in the scale? You're pointing this out, like the Russians, yeah. And the, you know,
the Russians, you really don't want to come across.
Really,
you just don't want to encounter those guys, because you know you have to consider the Russians are coming out of the Soviet system, and the Soviet system was the greatest sports system and military training system ever seen. Now, to be fair, you know, for their normal infantry guys and everything, it's pretty mundane. It's not all that special. They're special operations guys. They're paratroopers. You do not want to come anywhere near these guys. Now, when it comes to standards, what I can tell you is that, number one, the standards just to get into the Army are, first of all, you have to pass a PT test to get into the Army, and that includes being able to do 10 pull-ups. Well, I would dare say that within the United States Army, the majority of the people there couldn't do 10 pull-ups if they tried.
I was just laughing because 10 pull-ups is pretty pathetic if you are going to be, like, if you're supposed to be the cream of the crop, you're young, you're going into the military, chances are you're in maybe 19, 20 years old, and if you can only endeavor 10 pull-ups, you need to, like, really work on your stuff.
Oh, yeah, big time. But you see, here's the thing. Especially Americans, I should probably just say North Americans at that, and I think probably most humans, the thing is that they will only ever train to the standard that's put out there. And so, I mean, I did this when I was young. They sent me a pamphlet that said, well, if you want to go into pararescue, here's the entry test that you're going to have to take. And I looked at that and I went, okay. And I trained specifically for that entry test. And then I got to selection and I learned, oh, no, that's just so that you're allowed to walk through the door and try out. That doesn't make you anything special. That's just to separate you from 10,000 other guys. Now you're going to have to perform. It's like, wait, what? And it's quite an ugly wake-up call. And this is a problem that the Army has identified themselves, you know, and they keep yelling and screaming and trying to beat their head against the wall, saying, listen, the PT test is just to evaluate your unit's training program, and this is the minimum standard you guys should be performing to. But it isn't. It's the maximum that these guys are able to do. Well, the Russians have very different standards. I have those standards. I have the latest standards. As a matter of fact, for their special operations, a couple of years ago, they raised their standards again in special operations. For that matter, the British Commonwealth, specifically the Australians and the New Zealanders, they raised their standards for the SAS. They're not backing.
And
the
is the reason we're not raising our standards because the potential crop of people that are coming to the military today are obese and unhealthy?
Yes. And so this
so,
is
so,
a great
so wait,
way
wait,
to,
wait. I want to say something because I actually interviewed a sergeant with the Army about 7 years. No, probably in 2010, because I got to talking to him someplace, and he's a recruiter. He's like over all the recruiting stations, like on the East Coast. And he said, 9 out of 10 people are walking our door. We send home. They want to join the Army to lose weight. He says, no. You got to lose weight in order to get into the Army. They don't understand that. They think the Army is like a fitness reality TV show, and so they want to join. And so what you're saying to me is, aside from the current state of human condition in our population in the United States, not only crushing us financially because of healthcare, but it's putting us at a great geo-military disadvantage.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Because when you – it's one of the reasons why special operations is dying right now, because not
I
only –
I saw the article that you put up. Yeah, I saw that.
Well, yeah, and it's not only that, it's that, you know, the infantry is becoming less and less capable because they're less and less, they have less and less physicality and physical competence. And so when it comes to, you know, commanders in the field, they say, well, let's have these Rangers or special operations guys do this instead of sending the 25th Infantry Division, because we're pretty sure these guys are going to, you know, get their butts handed to them, or they're going to come back all beat up. And we know that the soft guys go out there and they come back and they're more or less good to go, maybe a few bullet holes. And they can do it, you know, with less men. They can do it on, you know, a short timetable and all that. But it's burning the guys out. And special operations has been just slashing their standards over the past decade. And I mean, it was already happening 20 years ago in response to all of this. Now, it's funny, just everything that you and I have said in the last couple of minutes, we could do a number of shows on, so I hope we can keep this going. One of the things I want to point out about the folks that think that the Army is a fitness club or a reality TV show, you really need a civics lesson, because this is the United States of America. We originally are supposed to have a militia system, and you know, we haven't had that for about 100 years. But the thing is that it is the responsibility of we the people to provide the military, to provide Congress and the president with able-bodied men for, you know, in the militia or for active duty military service. That is our responsibility. And this is one of the big things that I'm jumping up and down and screaming about is, you know, it is not the government's responsibility, because I used to beat up the Army really bad and the rest of the DOD, basically talking about how stupid and incompetent they are. And then I had this realization, it's not their responsibility.
Yeah.
It's our responsibility.
The farm team doesn't exist anymore. The farm team is not there. We used to have a farm team where we would pull the cream of the crop from and say, these are the guys we want. Now we don't have a farm team anymore.
Yeah, we don't have 2 million farmers throughout the country that can just take up arms and
well,
go win
World
War
II. What I mean by the farm team is, like, you know, baseball used to have a farm team. They called it a farm team. It was local teams where the scouts would go and go, wow, these guys are ready for pro. But we're not cultivating, like you said, through the militia process. We're not cultivating the people that can go into the military. And if anything, the lack of the militia process plus the general state of unhealthiness of our population is going to actually make us the lamb ready to be slaughtered.
Right, right. And that's what I'm trying to do. As far as I know, I'm the only one that's out there that's trying to build a program and a private military academy and all the rest of this to address this problem, because you know, like I said, we the people, it is our responsibility to develop these guys, and I'm the only one doing it. And I'm doing it using the old Soviet standards and the old Soviet sports science system.
In fact, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how they should be training the military. But for those of you listening to the show abroad, if you're deployed and you're thinking, well, this doesn't do me any good, it just freaks me out and makes me angry, there is a way for you to get trained in these disciplines that we're going to be discussing remotely from wherever you are. The website is called militarymultisport.com, and you can go there and you can take, I guess, basically distance learning. You can actually work one-on-one with trainers, and you can come up to speed on this. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what the military should be doing with their soldier athletes. Stay tuned.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrontil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrontil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrontil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrontil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrontil.
Atrontil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
You've heard about turmeric, and you probably use it. It's one of the most talked about health foods in America. Pure Indian Foods sources certified organic turmeric from small farmers in India. This limited edition turmeric is standardized to contain high, naturally occurring curcumin, which is the good stuff you want. It's also lab tested for heavy metals, which you want less of in your food. Psst, don't tell too many people about it. It's limited edition. Get yours today. Go to highcurcuminturmeric.com today to learn more.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Military Fitness Radio. So the things that we're going to discuss right now, you can actually learn at militarymultisport.com. If you are in the military, thinking of being in the military, or you would just like to train like a person who should be in the military, you want to train like, I'm reading a good Vince Flynn book right now, Mitch Rapp. I don't know if you're familiar with Vince Flynn's
book.
But I'm reading the latest one. It wasn't written by Vince because he passed away. It's written by this other guy. But there's this guy in there. He's a Russian. His name is Grisha. Or Grisha, I don't know how you pronounce it, but he's a spy, he's a murderer, but he's actually working for the U.S. government right now, and like the guy is like Superman. I mean, but the things that he's doing, you can believe a human could do if they trained to do it, and that is really ultimately what our military should be capable of. So what does military fitness training really look like if it's being done right? What is it that you guys teach over at militarymultisport.com?
Yeah, absolutely. So the approach that I take, as I said before, I wholeheartedly ripped off from the Soviets, and then I modified it a good bit to match what it was that I needed done. Fortunately, a lot of what they do is principle-based, not technique-based, so to speak. So when I talked before about isolating what are the big items that you really need to train all the time or you're going to lose, what those things are is, number one, movement skill. You've got to train movement skill. And that's really, really important for everything that you do, everything that you're going to do, everything your guys are going to do. you know, we could do a whole show on skill itself, but there are a whole bunch of various skill continuums that are incredibly important. And if you just build a human being that can move in as complex a manner as possible without thinking about it, so you develop that level of skill to move, and people are probably saying, well, you know, gosh, what's an example of that? Go to YouTube and look up Greg Mihovich or Underground Gym and just watch some of his movement videos, and you'll have a very good idea of what I'm talking about. What he's demonstrating is Russian lower acrobatics, and it's a core component of what it is that I teach and what I do. And in fact, he's one of my master coaches. Really,
what's
really
his name?
Great
Greg
guy.
Greg.
Yeah, Mihovich. Mihovich. He's Belarusian.
Okay.
Actually, now he's an American citizen, a proud American citizen, I might add.
Yeah, I'm looking at him. He's from New Jersey, it looks like, right? Yeah, Underground
Red
Gym.
Bank.
Yeah.
Yep. Great, great guy, but you can get an idea of what that looks like by watching some of his stuff. If you look up his CAT system or combat acrobatics training system on YouTube, you'll see a lot of that movement demonstrated there. So if you train someone, so this does a couple of things. Number one, it's a warm up, and that's how I use it. It's a warm up, but also it's building skill. It's building that movement and everything. And you're just killing a whole bunch of birds with one stone when you're doing that. It's also part of your joint mobility, which should be part of your warm up. So it's actually not just something for a military application. It's a natural health thing as well. And that's one of the really neat things about what we do is that there's so many of the natural health elements that are part of the combative system. You know, they're one and the same. It's just how you apply it. So you either apply it for health, or if you get in a fight, you can apply it, or if you're overcoming an obstacle, same thing. Doesn't matter. So then we build guys up so that they can do two separate activities. We start with walking and build them up into where they can diverge into running and ruck marching. And then we get guys swimming. And then really that is those are your disciplines, so to speak. So your basically what I call combative gymnastics is your warm up. And then your main training is going to be a little bit of strength and conditioning with kettlebells, followed by either a ruck march, a run, or a swim. And, you know, depending on your level of ability with that, of your fitness level, sometimes you'll do just one or two or all of them in a single day. So that really depends. And that's where the skill of the coach comes in to be able to prescribe the right dosage, if you will, among that. So and of those things, the strength and conditioning work is literally the least important.
Hmm. Yeah, I just watched his bench free. The cat system that you were just talking about, it's very, very fluid. It's really entertaining to watch, but I realize it takes a lot of skill to do that.
Yeah. And then you have to do that, you know, out of the dojo or out of the gym in snow or on the side of a mountain with equipment on. You know, this is all the type of stuff that you use. So when I coach Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys and MMA guys, I'm teaching them this because it helps them to move better, and all of a sudden it takes their fighting skill through the roof, because they normally just get on their back and they do what's called turtling. They don't know that they don't need to be there. They don't know that they're trapped there. So what they're always trying to do is to force their way up against their opponent out of there, and it's like, no, man, if you just move like this, and it just blows their minds. But that's the way the martial arts used to be taught. That was a critical component of that. So,
I'm looking at this and I'm getting it too. So, like you said, only 7% of the guys in the military are the trigger pullers, the real guys who really need to be this physically adept. Mm-hmm. The rest of them, as you point out, are administrative support for the military, and they're not going to be called upon to use their bodies in a skillful way to save their own lives or even kill another individual. And so to them, it's like, I just want to look big and strong. I want to look like Rambo. I don't care if I can't run 10 miles with a full pack on. I just want to look like I can run 10 miles with a full pack on.
Right. Well, there's a certain amount we can't hide from our genetics, right? You know, that drive and desire really ultimately goes back to what our prime directive is, which is to survive and to reproduce. And we reproduce based on things like natural selection and attracting a mate and all that fun stuff. And so the drive is there. But you know what's really interesting? I was talking to Ian Edgar the other day about this. And, you know, in all the studies, you know, there are some outliers out there. But when they look at what women are most attracted to physique-wise, it's always something along the lines of that, not Muscle and Fitness, but like Men's Health magazine, that
right.
type of body, or the Tyler Durden from Fight Club with a little more body fat kind of thing. But what that represents is a guy who can do what Greg is doing, you know, what guys that I train can do. It's a visual, physical representation of capability, because, of course, subconsciously she's looking at, you know, can this person provide, protect, procreate? And so you're looking at this, and it's, you know, it's all a subconscious thing locked in our DNA. It just so happens that it's also optimized for combat. So, but if you don't know that and you're a little bit distracted and you're being told everywhere in the media that you've got to be this big or this strong and don't worry about this and do cardio. We're going to do a show about cardio one of these days, because nobody has a clue what that actually is or means. They just think it's get on a machine and smoke yourself. It's not. So you can see where people go astray.
What I want to do, because we're coming close to the end of the show. You have a list of here the problems we face in training today, and I think it's important to discuss this because it really kind of crystallizes everything that we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
So well, why don't you go through that A through F list?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first problem that we have is everyone out there is focused on strength training, and this is the fault of the fitness industry. They've been extremely effective in doing that, and so what they've done is they've effectively created a divide between the people that lift weights and the people that go outdoors and do things, mm-hmm. whether it's running, swimming, whatever. And they've carved that off, and that was all done more or less not just to promote bodybuilding, but also to promote gyms, to promote gym membership.
Right.
So there's this huge industry behind that. The problem is that even if you go back to guys like Arnold, all of those guys, Arnold and John Grimmick and most of those guys, Arnold and before, they were all wrestlers. They were all athletes.
Mm-hmm.
They all swam. They ran. They biked. They were all around athletes, every single one of them. And they had real jobs.
Right.
But the industry has carved that off and said all you need is to go to the gym and all your needs will be met there. And they've effectively infiltrated everyone, to include the military, because people don't know. I mean, so then that kind of gets us to the next thing. Even with going to the gym and working out, nobody does it right. I mean, the number of great trainers out there are less than 1%, and probably, you know, if you average the actual total numbers, it's even less than that. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't understand specificity. They've been trained like robots. Here, we'll do this to build muscle. We'll make you sweat like this. And some of the blame, honestly, falls on the client, because, you know, I've had clients walk out because they said, well, this isn't hard enough. Okay, well, not quite sure what you were looking for, but you can't even sit down properly. You know, you can't squat properly. You can't run a mile. You can't even walk a mile. I don't know what it is, you know, that, like, what are you looking for?
Right.
Because, you know, but they, you know, so some of that's the client's fault. Just to be fair to the trainers out there, in case anyone's taking any offense, I sympathize. I'm one of you. So there's that. So once that happened, you know, the military didn't bother to really invest in anything. And one of these days, I'll repost this great book. It's a 300-page book written by a professor at West Point. It's 300 pages long, and it details what I would call the shocking and appalling lack of effort on the part of everyone at the Department of Defense to develop a good physical fitness program, or to even learn what the heck it is, and also the history of people like myself who have given everything to try to make the difference and to help them, and it just gets rejected, and they screw it up seven ways from Sunday. So what I'm getting at is the military says, well, you've got to be able to run, and you've got to be able to ruck march. You say, well, how do you train for that? They don't have an answer. They do not have an answer for that.
How about running more often and ruck marching more often?
Right. Well, and how you do it, right? So one of the most common things that is always spread around is, okay, well, let's say you want to go to Ranger school or be in the infantry. So get a backpack, put 70 pounds on it, and just go as fast as you can, crush yourself, repeat every day, go. Well, I'm sorry, that's never worked. And anyone who's ever been a running coach knows that you have to go the distance before you can load it, and load, speed, incline, external load are forms of load. So if you can't walk 12 miles in 3 hours with no load, what on earth are you doing putting the backpack on, putting 70 pounds on your back, and trying to go 12 miles in 3 hours or less? You can't do it unloaded. What the hell are you doing?
Right.
But is there a manual that says that in the DOD? No, there isn't. It's very simple.
I guess the DOD's position is just do it. Like, we don't care if you can do this. You're in the military now. You have to do it. It's all about will. But what they fail to realize is if you send a guy into combat who just spent every bit of everything he's got walking the 10 miles to the fight, he's not going to be able to fight.
Right. So this is where we can close the loop, and we can come back to the list in a minute, but let's close the loop on the national security threat, because let's define that just a little bit. See, what you just said is absolutely correct, because ultimately, to the DOD and the government, men are disposable. But the problem is that right now we have over 75% of the population is overweight, and a good chunk of those, I dare say most of them, are obese. So you're left with 25% of the population, and of that, less than 1% of that wants to be in the military, and of those, most of them don't qualify. You see what I'm getting at? I think they did the math that something like only 0.4, or maybe it's even 0.04, I don't remember, percent of the United States population qualifies and is willing to join the military. That's horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you're burning through guys because you don't care, you don't have anyone to replace them.
Interesting. Interesting. You're taking a very limited commodity and treating it like it's ubiquitous and that you don't have to worry about it, and that's not the case anymore with the situation.
Right. That's exactly right. So this is your risk, and so it's both the fault of society and the fault of the DOD for not properly addressing these issues.
Yeah, they need to change their opinion of soldiers and start investing more in them, because those may be the only guys they have.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not hard to do. This is the thing that really gets me. It's not complicated. I'm not doing anything that's magic. I'm not doing witchcraft. I'm not a super scientist. This is easy stuff. As a matter of fact, the more I do it, the more shocked I am, because I keep thinking, isn't there more to this? And no, there isn't. It's really easy. But, I've spent 20 years trying to get the DOD to open their eyes and to, adopt this stuff, and they won't do it. So to hell with them.
So let me ask you something. So you've worked with lots of special ops guys at this point in time. Tell me what happens with them when they are indoctrinated into your program and you start working with them. What happens to them? Do they go, holy crap, I didn't realize I was capable of this? What happens with them?
So the first thing that happens is resistance. What they want to do is what they've always done, and most people are emotionally connected to what they've always done, and they all have a memory that is, I was in my best peak shape during this time, and this is what I was doing then. And so I have to break that in them, because that's what they want to do. And you say, well, I'm sorry, you can't do that anymore. Or we have to do this before you can do that again. And usually they come to me, they look at it and they scoff at it until they're broken and they can't rehab themselves and get back. So then they're willing. They say, okay, I don't care what it takes, I'll just do it. Then that's followed by more resistance, because when I tell them what I need them to do, because none of them have anywhere near the aerobic capacity that they need, they're horrified that they're going to be doing things like walking for the next 6 months. They're just, that blows their mind. And
well, and so it, this is actually interesting because this is what I need to do for my own health right now. I have become my dependency on, I don't even, 1,000+ milligrams of caffeine a day, and my style of training has put me into a position where I am far beyond overtrained. I'm actually starting to come apart. I'm exhausted all the time. My leg strength is starting to slip away. I have a neural fatigue that is only explainable by the damage I've done to my body. So now I am faced with getting up in the morning and looking at the sunshine and taking a walk as my therapy for the edge that I've pushed myself over. And I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose all my muscle mass. You know, it's like this big investment. I feel like I'm going to – but the reality is I've invested in ill health.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, if you commit to it and do it, I promise you, give it 6 months to a year and you'll be astonished.
I want you to help me. I want you to help me. I want you to I need to change the way I'm training because it's not healthy anymore. I'll be 60 years old in June, and now it's about finishing the race. And so I want you to take me and take me through the paces. I want to be more skilled physically as opposed to just strong and ripped.
Absolutely. Okay. We can definitely do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I'll get with you offline on that.
Yeah.
So the next thing that happens is for the guys that say, okay, I'm going to commit to this. There's a 6 month window where they doubt everything and they fight you and they argue and they ask if they can do more. And you say, no, you can't. And then somewhere between 6 and 8 months, all of a sudden they start going, wait, what's going on with my body? And then 8 to 12 months, you start getting emails like, what the hell is happening to me? I don't understand this. It doesn't make any sense. Because they're starting to do things that they, for example, you'll have guys that are in their late 30s, early 40s doing things as good as they were doing it when they were in their early 20s.
Yeah.
And even better. And then once you pass about the 1 year mark, guys are now moving into Superman territory. They are far, vastly exceeding anyone they ever knew at their prime. They're destroying everyone they ever run into, and they begin to, from a military fitness perspective, they begin to come into a place where they are performing at competitively would be a national or international level, so world-class level, professional athletic level. You know, it's a professional game. It's not, you know, amateur. I go to the gym. It's like, you're not working out. You're training, man. You're training hard, and you're just smoking the daylights out of people. I mean, not by a little bit. So what happens is by the time they've hit 6 months, they're running sub 6 minute miles. Like they're 5 and 10K runners and they're doing it at a pace of, you know, faster than 6 minutes a mile. At the end of 1 year, after going through, the phase two program, they're ruck marching monsters. They're already shattering every norm that the DOD has. By the time they've done 18 months, they are literally, they're going faster, harder, further, longer than anyone else in the world, to include the Russians. You know, they are the benchmark that I hold our stuff to.
Right.
And I mean, it's just damn spooky. You know, at that point, it gets spooky as a coach as well, because you find yourself saying, well, I don't know what else to tell you to do except go find something else to do. Like, go get another hobby, you know? Because the guys are just so physically fit, so capable, and just, I mean, like I said, within a year they are destroying every standard in the DOD, to include the very top end of the of special operations. And in 18 months, they're the best in the world. Period.
Yeah. I don't know that I could ever be that, because where I'm starting, but I would just like to be. I feel tired all the time. This is not a way to go through life, feeling exhausted. My dependency on 1,000+ milligrams of caffeine a day, it's not even working anymore for me.
No. And it won't. I mean, that's the thing, right? Medically, you develop a tolerance, you know, and you need more and more, and then you just, you know, more and more stops working, you know. One of the things for the for the gym crowd out there is that, you know, you've got to understand, we as human beings, if you look at it from an anthropology point of view, we're not supposed to just sit around and be mostly sedentary and then lift some weights in the gym. We're not even supposed to, you know, everything that we do, you know, the majority of moving objects that the indigenous human being will do, you know, it's all things that are between 5 and 35 pounds all day long.
Right.
It's extremely lightweight, you know, very low intensity. And you know, the indigenous human being walks 12 to 20 miles a day with no problem. You ask me about, you know, what is the enemy doing? Well, the enemy in the Middle East lives hard. They don't work out. They just live hard.
Right.
Because life is hard. I remember, you know, way back in the day, I remember we rolled up a couple of guys out in the middle of nowhere. You know, they've got these deserts that just go forever. And, you know, we spotted a guy, went out and grabbed him and said, okay, you know, where are you coming from? And he tells us a village. And we look it up. That's 100 miles in one direction. So, well, where are you going? He tells us another village. And that's 100 miles. I'm not kidding. 100 miles the other direction. They go, you're walking there. Yes. Okay. And at the time, I didn't know whether to believe this guy or not. I didn't let him go. I mean, but then I started studying the Native Americans. And come to find out, that's pretty pedestrian performance. That's weak compared to what the Native Americans were doing, especially before the advent of horses.
Right.
So to these people, even the folks in the cities, because no one owns cars, or very few people own cars.
Right,
right. They don't, but to them, 50 miles, like, yeah, whatever, I'll just go do it. It's not, they don't even think about it. To them, that's like going to the corner store is what 50 miles is to them. You know, and then when you got guys that are bitching and moaning about a 2 mile PT test, really? You don't stand a chance, man. So it's, and not only that, you know, depending on where you're living, there was a, I guess I'll talk around to this. It's a very public thing, but I don't want to speak the name of it, per se, but
okay.
There was a team of guys that went up into the mountains on a mission. It was a very poorly planned and executed mission, and there was only one guy that. And if you think you know who it is, don't say it.
No, I don't know. I don't know who it is, and I'm not going to say it anyway. So go ahead.
But anyway, they all got killed, except for one guy. And I looked at these guys. I had a lot of friends that were very good friends with these guys. I didn't know any of them personally. I'm looking at pictures taken in the weeks before. And I'm looking at the base that they were at. I looked at where they went. And these guys were not fit. They just weren't. Right. They had not been training for this. They certainly hadn't been training for that type of terrain, that type of altitude. And these guys who are living in, I mean, these guys can walk up a mountain faster than you can run across level ground at sea level, you know. And they're not carrying 100 pounds of equipment. So, you know, bad choices and decisions were made in the lead up, and there was a lot of them, and it got those guys killed. That's what really happened, because they didn't move very far, and they couldn't move very far because they went up there so physically unprepared. And what they did was they whitewashed the whole thing. Nobody will speak the truth. And so with everyone in denial, nothing has changed. In fact, it's only gotten worse. So it's quite disappointing. It's what I'm trying to turn around. It's why I'm trying to change the paradigm with military multisport to drive the idea that, hey, get out of the gym. The gym is your last. It's not that it's not important. It's your last priority.
Right.
If you can't walk or run, I don't care what you can lift, because it has no relevance. Now, once we start doing that, I will show you things you can do in the gym that'll blow your mind, and it'll make you faster and stronger, but you got to do the other stuff first. And so we have to start embracing this multidisciplinary approach. You know, which means we have to go back to living the way humans are supposed to live and training the way that athletes and indigenous humans are supposed to live and operate. So that's my spiel, man.
Yeah, no. So I want to just close the show by telling people who are listening that whether you are in the military or not, if you are like me and you want to change, you know, I want to be more functional. I want to have strength that I can apply in a jam And I also want to be more mobile, more agile. I want to be faster. I want to be able to go long distances. I don't want to have to think about it. All the things that you're talking about. The website is militarymultisport.com. If you are deployed, if you have access to the internet and a computer, you can use this website to bring your game up to par while everybody else is struggling around you. And in fact, you could even get one-on-one training with one of the coaches there, including Nate, if you so desire it. Militarymultisport.com. And of course, American Defense, and that's defense with a C, .us, if you want to read some of the stuff that Nate is writing about. But you don't have to be in the military. You can just be an average person who thinks, you know what? I want to be better prepared. I just want to be better prepared. It's really great to look strong, but it's more important to be strong. And when we talk about strength, I remember I wrote a press release article for a guy who was a strong man who was deciding to get into MMA. And I put it up on that sheerdog.com website, which is like a MMA website.
Yeah.
And I had a picture of the guy, farmer walking a car across a football field. And, you know, like a wheelbarrow, you know, where they have the car has the handles on the back.
Yep.
So he's walking a car across the football field. And then another picture of the guy squatting 1,200 pounds. And everybody on that website came out and said, this guy will gas out in 5 seconds. He'll succumb to a chokehold. Somebody will grapevine him. And it was like, it was so obvious that it didn't matter that this guy could squat 1,200 pounds. It didn't matter that this guy could walk a friggin' car across a football field. There were little guys that knew that they could take him out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, that's where the saying comes from, and I mean, thousands of years old, right? The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's one of my former martial arts instructors, James Williams, always said that there's always, there's never in the history of man been an advantage to being bigger in combat. You're a bigger target. You're a slower target. You require more food, more water, more rest. He said it's always been a disadvantage, and he was absolutely right.
Yeah, I'm ready to change my style of training, and I'm ready to put myself in your hands. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it for today. Again, share the show around. If you are deployed, tell your comrades about it. This is just the beginning of a lot of great things that Nate is going to bring to the forefront. Nate, thanks a lot, brother.
Thank you, Carl.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, and we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Super Human Radio. Tune in then.